We're back to Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And I guess I said it was the Taylor Report. we want to update you on some news. Very important. Here's a story. Again, that's one of the reasons we do the Taylor Report. An organization known as Uhuru, the slogan of the African National Congress, the Uhuru organization in the United States, located largely, I believe, in Florida and Mississippi, called the African People's Socialist Party, was charged by the FBI with being a Russian agent. And this is very timely, in my opinion, to be talking about this, because the U.S. government is continually raising alarm and questioning once again the loyalty of citizens, invoking Russia, and we're continually talking about Russian influence, and everyone's being very vigilant. The main vigilance, of course, is in the form of propaganda, which exaggerates or lies about the whole phenomenon, or talks about this phenomena, this accusation, without any evidence. And so Uhuru is right at the spear point, if I might say, because they actually were charged and their offices broken into. Their personal material, their party material, they have been in existence many, many years. I think it's a might be as long as 60 years. And they were given the full treatment, and I think approximately there might have been, they boil it down to three leaders, I believe, one from Uhuru, the party, two from support organizations. The party members are largely African American, but there is a solidarity organization made up of various ethnic backgrounds. And the accusation, again, was that they were Russian agents acting on the direction of Moscow. This is pure old-fashioned McCarthyism. And let's get to the news. The jury, they had a decision. The jury completely rejected that. They threw it out. They said they didn't believe it. And this is rather crucial because, again, we hear this all the time. That, oh, so-and-so's an agent. He's acting like an agent. Why don't they register? Uhuru is a declared People's Socialist Party. They have opinions which are reflected by other socialist parties all over the world. But talking like a socialist all over the world and in the United States, it turns out that that is regarded as criminal. And so if you do say the kinds of things they say, which is obviously to call for socialism in America, then you must be a Russian agent. That was the conclusion. There were 14 witnesses on this matter of there being Russian agents. Get a load of this number. 12 of the 14 witnesses were FBI agents. So they brought 12 FBI guys. And I guess what they did was paste in what Russia said about something, maybe Somalia or Palestine or Ukraine. And then they pasted in what the leader of the Uhuru group said. And they said, oh, look, it's the same statement, same point of view. Well, that means they're agents. This is how ignorant this policy is. It doesn't say much for the population that has been tolerating this kind of hysteria. There is a problem in the case that remains, and that's one of the reasons we're reporting on it here at the Taylor Report now, and that is that they have been found guilty of conspiring against the government. That would be because they openly advocate for socialism in America. Perhaps they're exercising their good old American right to even believe that the government should be overthrown, which you will find in the writings of Thomas Jefferson and in the Declaration of Independence of the United States and in many of the amendments to the U.S. Constitution, because when they founded the country, they were very anxious that they protect the right to resist a government they don't like. Because after all, that's how they came into being. They said that they didn't have to obey the king and that they exercised their right and, of course, they would say duty to remove him. And the FBI doesn't, of course, not really strong on the Constitution, and they don't read a lot of Jefferson or others. But at any rate, they were exercising and have exercised their rights in that department. We'll try to familiarize ourselves. I have to say I'm aware of them. I admire them. Many have spoken up in support of them, of the Uhuru Movement, African People's Socialist Party. We've spoken to Norman Otis Richmond about the subject. We'll probably be calling on him in the near future. I'm just doing this item because the news came, I think, on Friday. But we'll get up to date on the background. But they still have they do face 5 years in prison for allegedly conspiring, which my understanding of the First Amendment, et cetera, is that's not possible. And if you remember, the first charge is that they were doing this at the direction of Russia. They were Russian. It was identified as Russian agents, according to the prosecution case. So if the first part of that is wrong, how could the second part be right? If your theory was that they were taking orders, now you say, no, they weren't taking orders, but they were conspiring. You say, well, maybe you should go back and start your case again and see if any of this makes any sense. It makes sense primarily in a country that is suffering from hysteria, political hysteria, where everyone feels somehow that they have to be one up their opponent in terms of extreme language. And since there is now Russophobia abroad in the land, this kind of ugly thing happens to an organization which, if you were to track them in their work, it would be primarily advocating for agricultural workers, for rights to unions, protection from police violence, particularly in the South, which remains relatively unreconstructioned. If you want a reference, ready reference, you could look up the case of Tyreek Hill, the wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, who found out that being a millionaire football player doesn't protect you from good old-fashioned Florida system of what to do with black people in inexpensive automobiles. And they always, by the way, that has just become proverbial. I mean, it is said that many really highly successful black athletes, performers, etc., find that they are the subject of particular attention by the police. The great Marcus Allen, a running back for the then Los Angeles Raiders, and I think he's in the Hall of Fame, but he said that as he became successful as a professional football player, and even when he was famous as a runner for the USC, he carried his driver's license in a little plastic bag on a chain around his neck so that he wouldn't be reaching in his pocket for his driver's license when stopped by police. He had this, that's how vigilant he had to be in his mind to keep from being shot. And there is a list of famous black entertainers and athletes and prominent black individuals who are wealthy who have been shot because the police had a certain approach to black people, frankly. Going back to Uhuru, they've been fighting that kind of thing and probably successful because I can't think of any other reason anyone would bother them. So we will continue to follow this. I think it's very important. There's a another piece of news which, apropos of the changing political climate in the world as a result of the development of multipolarism, that is to say, powers who exercise their right as autonomous states within the international system to trade with whom they want to trade and to run their internal affairs as they feel is best for their population. And in Burkina Faso, they have overthrown a government which was neo-colonial in nature. It obeyed Paris, did what Paris wanted, and minerals and wealth was taken away from Burkina Faso. All business was done in French francs. Sad situation because the little game that was played was it was independent. Well, there, of course, has been an uprising there. And they have nationalized now, as of 2 days ago, the gold mines, and in this case belonging to companies in the United Kingdom. So the gold mines of Burkina Faso have returned to the people of Burkina Faso. That's very good news. It's also something I hope the listeners' Taylor Report will take notice and also to say these are not just, changes of power. One general replaces another general. This is more serious. This is anti-colonial resistance. It's also taking place in Niger and in Mali and Congo, elsewhere, where neo-colonialism is being overthrown. Another item I want to make sure we speak about is that the President Putin of Russia has given an interview in which he is commenting on the situation of the decision, which is obscure. And by the way, you all know, I think, they say the owl Minerva flies at twilight. We're in a twilight situation where the Americans and NATO are not showing their hand, but they're hinting and suggesting they may do certain things. And they're talking now about providing long-range missiles to Ukraine. And our prime minister says, what could be wrong with that? I'll tell him what could be wrong with it. Not that it matters to Canada, because we have no say. The United States will decide. We're a member of NATO in the sense that we're strapped to it and could not possibly get out of it. But Putin's point, just so our listeners know, was that these missiles that they're talking about actually cannot be handled by Ukrainians because they require satellite links, which Ukraine doesn't have. So in other words, it would be NATO and or the U.S., and who would be in charge of these. And also, his point was, they can't even be fired. They can't be put into use except by NATO personnel. So I don't think our leaders are being responsible. They're not telling us what the stakes are, and they're not admitting that. They're talking about, aid to Ukraine. Well, that aid to Ukraine is bad enough or troubling enough as a problem. But if you actually are the one that fires the missile, you're NATO, or you're the U.S., however you want to put it, and you fire at Russia, you could be in a thing called a war. And we've had two European wars, and I'll remind you, in each of them, millions of Europeans. Everybody likes to talk about, the global South being violent. Nobody's as violent as the Europeans when they go to war. We had two major wars. It was really ugly. Millions died. And people are playing with this like it's a toy gun. It's not toy. And when this Ukrainian thing evolved into where it is now, that those who have been handling it in the background in NATO have not, of course, admitted what risks they're putting us all in. So anyway, I want to make sure we underline that for the Taylor Report. We have a bit of music by a man named DJ Snake. He is a French-Algerian. He performed in Montreal very, very recently. And I learned that he performed in Montreal by reading an internet magazine from Lebanon. That's how I get to know that there was a big event. And at that event, he played a very popular song about Palestine. And he told the crowd, to this thousands and thousands of people, vive Palestine. So seems relevant. We'll play that. And then we'll be back to talk to Anna Lipman of CUPE. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. And good for Fred Hahn. He comes in for a lot of grief. But, if you're not doing anything special in your line of work, you probably won't get any heat. And Fred understands that he can, what's he saying? If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. And Fred could take the heat. Why? Because he has the membership behind him. Kind of important. I couldn't say that for the writers in the Star or the Globe or the Editorial, because nobody elected them to anything. They're just hired, and they will write whatever whoever hired them wants them to write. And then they pretend they're tigers, and they bounce around and growl. But they're paid. The word for that is hack. And so somebody said, this morning we're going to get Fred. And they just turn them loose. None of them were elected to anything. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. By the way, and speaking of the Star, I got to make a point that I think is funny. I was going to introduce a joke, I thought, today on the Taylor Report. I was going to say, if Ford wants to have beer in the corner stores, and he's done it. Well, why can't we have a nurse in a corner store? Every corner store should have a public nurse available to help see how the citizens are doing and, how everybody's doing, and to refer them to the appropriate doctor. It turned out the Toronto Star yesterday had an opinion piece, and they upped the ante on me. They said, why not a doctor in every corner store? And I thought, why not? At least a reference. You go in and there's a sign saying, this Dr. So-and-so is available to see you or take your calls, whatever. And That would, I think, be a popular idea. Probably as popular as beer. Ford bets on your lowest instincts. He bets on you want to gamble, you want to smoke, you want to, you know, that's his bet. He thinks you're a beer-guzzling, you know, lowlife, and he's going to accommodate you, and everybody here's, you know, offer him a toast. But actually, he's wrong about the people, and I think we ought to have a campaign. I think I'm going to have to check out who wrote the article and fill in the details, the blanks, as it were. But why don't we have a nurse in every slash doctor? It goes at your, be associated with your corner store or in a across the street. This is the Tater Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I go on this. I was speaking earlier of the threat of war. And I want to say that Slovakia is an important country in Europe. It's not France. It's not Poland, but it's an important country. And Hungary, historically, one of the most important countries in Europe. And their opinions should be heard. And the leaders of both Slovakia and Hungary say that NATO is wrong. Maybe they've been reading, you know, the reports that say that Russia has said, if you use NATO weapons, that means NATO is doing it because it was the particularly the super missiles can only be fired by NATO people. And when I say NATO, Americans, certainly no Hungarian military guy is anywhere near being able to pull a trigger, and no Slovakian, but they happen to be important people, and they are led by popular, very popular leaders. You know they're popular because Hillary Clinton calls them dictators. If Hillary tells you so-and-so's a dictator, you know he's popular and he doesn't like Hillary Clinton. That's all that means. But the just in the past few days, the leader of Slovakia spoke out. His point was that on the matter of are there neo-Nazis in Ukraine, his answer was definitely they are there. He says you can see them and you can hear them. And he said these are the people who we fought in World War II, and they're wandering around giving speeches and publishing in Ukraine. I would say if you want to laugh him off or ignore him, try that. But if you want to go to the facts, he's a very intelligent gentleman, and he's made his case, and as has the leader of Hungary. I thought it was striking that a few years back when all these problems began, particularly following the coup of 2013-2014, where a promised election after the Maidan exercise, the promised election did not happen. Instead, they banned parties that probably would have won any election. And then they started making all kinds of declarations. They're going to do this and they're going to do that. And they, of course, aroused fury in eastern Ukraine, which is largely Russian-speaking, historically identifies closely with Russia. And they said, well, we're going to override that without the promised election and without the protection, which was also promised, of the autonomy of eastern Ukraine. When that happened, often lost sight of, is that in western Ukraine, and remember, Ukraine means the borderland. That's the name. The name of the Ukraine means the borderland. It's a borderland. And the west and the east are rather different. At any rate, in western Ukraine, there are many Hungarians. And there was an in Hungary proper, there were some fascist organizations, and in Western Ukraine, there were some fascist organizations. And here's what happened. The Hungarian fascists condemned the Ukrainian fascists because the Ukrainian fascists were persecuting Hungarian fascists in Western Ukraine. That sounds like a footnote, but it's a telling moment. Is it in because the people who do the major headlines, the big ones, always just think, oh, well, that's secondary importance. No, not at all. It reflected what happened when you had a coup and the people who made it didn't care about any ethnic minority and their rights. They decided to trample them. It's not because they could do it. So they had this ironic situation, and it's worth remembering that. So let us make sure we concentrate on that. I see that Parliament is about to go back into business, and the government should be told, should face the issue, are we endorsing the U.S. policy, apparent policy? Again, it's ambivalent, and ambivalence can cause wars. The ambivalent policy of directing missiles at Russia. If we don't say it now, we may not be here to say it later. That would be one of my points. There was earlier in the show a reference to the situation in Venezuela. I'll close on this matter. There's been several Americans ended up have been arrested in Venezuela. They were found with 400 weapons. And the Venezuelans say that the Spanish are also involved. And this would not be news because the United States organized coup attempts. So we're talking about a track record, a clear track record of organizing coups against governments in South America, and particularly of Venezuela. So it's not a myth. And a woman named Machado once called on Israel to attack Venezuela in what she called responsibility to protect. Literally, she did that. This is the Taylor Report, CIT, and Pedro has been great as usual, and there's a wonderful show coming up.
Been uptown and I seen that train come down. You could hear the whistle blow 100 miles. You could hear the whistle blow